like Southern Cross, which is, by the way, a good network, was built at the right time, it's very robust. Like Southern Cross, most of our demand is actually going to be coming from Australia. Okay, so the reason that we're doing this right now is why our frustration, but really, Australia is an NBN network, which is like our $1.5 billion, except it's 45. There's a lot of differences. The 40 gigabit per second and the direct line to the USA, all three of those things can't happen at once, making the economics sort of stack up. And that's it.
We'll just start some questions now. Hopefully you've learned something. Hopefully you've thought about some things. Hopefully you've addressed some of the comments I think you may have had in the last days, weeks, years. I have a question which I'll just throw to the panel just for. And I've talked to someone about this, and I was saying it's a question. I mentioned it a couple of years. I have a 12-year-old daughter. I live on the Portland Exchange on a DSL connection. I'm on a 20 gig plan. It means not very much, but usage, right? And she has a friend who lives off 500, 800 meters away, probably about a cable kilometer, and she does video chat with her constantly. I probably do about 5 gigs of data a month between those two yammering away. So, how can you guys solve my problem? Because it's not very far from the Portland Exchange DSL connection to the Noah Portland Exchange DSL connection. And you want to do a first stab at how I probably a typical, hopefully. User, anybody want to do a first crack at? Okay. And others, welcome questions.
I think we're slowly drawing it out of providers that insist on bundle pricing with it. A few weeks ago, you may have read that we've done peering on Telephone New Zealand. That's the first step. The second step is convincing the impact of that to be realised at a retail level for Telephone customers. Because with peering, we're going to the local exchange to carry the traffic out of the town. So there's not really any cost being incurred by the provider if it's not going elsewhere. So the answer, Stephen, differentiated pricing. I mean, I'll be banging on about it for a long while now. I think it's high time. There's no incentive to host content locally. Sort of the authoritarian aspect of me, which is not that big, says that people who put their content offshore, where the content's coming back to New Zealand, should be embarrassed with tars and feathers. But they do that because it's cheaper to host in the US than it is in New Zealand. The reason why it's more expensive is because there's no incentive when you connect to it.
Yeah. In fact, if you run a website onshore for New Zealanders, it's cheaper to host it in the US. Then you're using the Southern Cross and not paying for it. If you run it onshore, you're not using the Southern Cross, but you are paying for it.
But you're pushing the cost out to New Zealanders and New Zealand companies.
But that's the incentive, so completely wrong.
Yeah, I agree.
Questions on the floor? Just on the topic of peering, is there anything that can be done to encourage or force the ISPs to peer?
Is it aimed at anybody in particular or?
I would
use the word open outlooks. And I think it's just, the fact that we're seeing a couple roll over recently is really good, but it's to keep applying pressure and keep saying this is not reasonable, we're not caring, and keep pushing.
We're caring good for you guys and Southern Cross. But we don't say it, as James said, it's it needs to be realized that, 5 years ago, I had actually applied and initiated the DSL service from some of my mates, and we were, basically paying nothing for national traffic. And it was that year with someone like CityLink, the 8. But now, they went more, still going to cost us the same day to get that DSL engine for the slot to the Telephone Protector or our route to the providers. So actually, this isn't saving me money. It's good for me because I can then get traffic challenges for cheaper, maybe, or better latency, but for me, as a customer.
One thing on the peering side that we should talk about or raise the question is Google. So Google is a huge source of content. Google is used to throw up in Sydney. I'm crashing from local stuff there. I think one of the best things that Google's policy on the other day is they're not willing to pay as much as you do to the costs. foreign cities, then Google say they can't afford sponsor cities. They offer agent services like this, the top 3 or 4 ISPs have agent services, but you need to be delivering at least a gig of Google traffic, which games and YouTube videos do that sort of stuff. So there are some major, major content sources that I think, if you've got differentiated prices, you know, Google and the others, that you can see some sort of content distribution network forming.
What happens is that FY and I come and appeal for the tier 5% file market, and then they basically put a content service in, so the telecoms are paying for it, but then everyone else.
Well, then one of the small ISPs get together, run aggregate their demands, and get Google online and my stuff.
So you can see my cost is very nice, but
I think it's quite difficult to kind of build a business case in today's market. I mean, 10 years ago, the minimum ISP was doing quite well, but now it would be almost the same to set up the minimum ISP because of this cost structure as well. And I think that is a very real problem that's stopping the world from reaching. We can make a secret black and something perfectly developed. But when you start bringing it back to the business case, then that's when you get the actual moment of this.
Other questions? Just down the road.
Hi there. I've got 2.5. I'm going to read up first to you because I've tweeted in. I don't want to get it wrong. A mate of mine says, ask them what happened to WiMAX. It was supposed to be the replacement for the last mile, and it was wireless really dead. And then the second question to ask is, how badly do you want your samples back? Think about it. Yes, but yeah.
Your garlic gas samples is enormous. He's also wondering, asking us for $500, so he's probably okay.
There was this really stupid pulse today when I started working at the Spazio about 5 years ago. No, we need mobile. No, we need WiMAX. Well, we don't have WiMAX yet, but one day we will. No, we need fiber. And I think the answer is that you need fiber everywhere to have good wireless services, firstly. And secondly, the characteristics of Wi-Fi that it might be useful in areas with well-dispersed populations. Not very many devices trying to connect, but it isn't going to sort of down there. Yeah. So there is no perfect solution. It's just making higher and higher bandwidth better, more working. And we happen to have this technology through glass that works incredibly well, and glass is incredibly cheap. So apart from the small issue of digging holes for it, it's the best way to go.
I think the comment is a mixed source environment. What is the best way to get to you? At a cost of what you want. Down to the climax of Wi-Fi, it's little hamsters pushing little packets at it. So it's, and the answer is there's no last mile that suits everybody. And the other thing is wireless. It's saturation of the online networks. So lots of users are saying that you would be very important where you can put near unlimited either. So it's an interesting view.
And our questions. Stephen raised an interesting point there. You said that there's no last mile suits everyone, and you seem to be going for a national modulus rollout of fiber to the premises. There'd be a very good choice about what your last mile actually is. It will be fiber. Is that how does the panel feel about that choice being made?
I live in a button group, just on the desert street, grocery, it's 34 buttons. I understand that last mile will go to the basement of my building. It's not actually going to be done in my apartment. So, here's the premise, that's great. What's the body corporate or the telco or the provider or XYZ corporation going to do to get to my last mile, which is 20, 30, 100 meters, but it's pretty critical. Get in my basement, it's not going to help me very much. So, yeah. Yeah, sure. This is making contact with the last half to the premise. But yeah, so what environment do you live in? So who wants to speak first on this?
It's the same debate that we just mentioned, because the fact that it's fiber everywhere means you'll be able to have more options as high speed wireless or mobile services than you would without it. Whether you are sort of, so yes, the very last mile, the only center will be fiber. But the construction of this type of nervous network expands the other lifestyle options that you have. So there isn't an inconsistency. There's going to be some interesting things that can happen to Walsh as well. I mean, I've seen this in the visual brains. So I'll roll out 1,000 units to get them to build it. And then some of the enterprise track will go, oh, right, I'll keep that up there, you build one, so I'll put some Wi-Fi on top, and I'll sell this to these guys here, and then the urban fiber guy goes, oh, hang on, the business case is quite sold at 1,000 units to anyone. Now that same problem will occur in residential areas, where someone will phone you up for a gigabit internet connection fee, and they'll become the neighbourhood ISP. I mean, we've seen that already with providing buildings to the building system.
Yeah, the other part of the service that actually we want to have that high capacity so that, you know, they'll actually use it. So, yes, you know, some guy might be happy to have, you know, an eighth of my capacity, but you want to get to a stage where most people aren't happy, and most people, the minimum required is, you know, your own way.
I knew a practice a couple years ago that, again, follows that mantra where you own, the customer only control the first amount of fiber, because the CWDM on any base that builds your local exchange, and each service you want to deal with, you know, before you. The quality of it is just like CB channel 19, it's just like a broadcast frequency. And when you actually sign up for your TV provider, your school, or your whatever, you just allocate the color. And I think the other challenge is right now, but nothing in the future, you know, with some CWDM on that happens. But that requires you to go to content delivery as well. Driving a gig is quite hard. Right. I mean, like James says, gigabit connections, right? I said, well, they write myself 10 gig connections, well, I don't. But it's like it's really hard to drive it after 3 years, maximum person has to drive it consistently. So, you know, networks are lost a little bit in between them to get iPhones and games on. Very easy.
Yeah, this might be a nice little segue, but I think about the social side of it. You know, New Zealand is largely a consumer society when it comes to internet. I mean, is anybody, especially you, on this, you know, thinking about pitching your ideas as, hey, maybe we need to get people thinking about New Zealand being a producer society? You know, they've got Apple's Back to My Mac, you know, where I'd love to have my music collection available at work, but I can't because there's a 700K, you know, upstream out of my home in my DSL. You know, I've got super fast, you know, relatively, you know, 10 gigabit download. So, you know, to me, I think a lot of this is social. I mean, when we say that, hey, you know, if we build it, they will come, well, we've all seen that, you know, fail to varying degrees. So I think, you know, I'd just like to hear ideas about, you know, how you guys are dealing with this issue, about providing more concrete things about the generation of demand. As you said, it can be quite difficult. And maybe it's something deeper, maybe it's something more social.
Yeah, Brian, that's important. And I think, in my mind anyway, one of the great benefits of the fiber plan is inherently it's not about a SMS service. You can send as much as you want, you can send how you want. As it is central, I think that's a very good thing. And the consumer model, where you suck down information over and over, which is a whole lot of information. We absolutely need to focus on turning our thinking around and everything you have to see the same day about. I guarantee you that if you go to any ISP in this country, and the amount of capacity that they buy, they all chop up, inbound, and the loaded megabits doing nothing outbound. Right, so they've already paid for that, so how do we take advantage of that? The reason why it's such an excellent question, Brian, is really nice and helpful to get to, is when actually any of our ISP customers have open streams to their own. I've got customers on City Link right now, but if they wanted to, they could send data out to the world, no caps, and so 100 megabits a second, they can shunt the data out to the world 100 megabits a second all day long.
So I think that's excellent. And we've been pondering a bit to our construct challenge, which is that if you can throw 300 or 400 meters a second out the world non-stop as a business and generate revenue from that, right, will give you limited connection for some period of time. We're still working that through, but
The challenge is to socialize this idea with quite a few people around marketplace. You know what, constantly, you know, I'll do it, but you know, the evidence of what the startups like saw in the Netherlands was that when you've got really pace mentioned, so when speeds went up and when you've got a place, the pattern of traffic use changed, so that it went from being 90% 95% download, to all the speed balance, because people started interacting with each other in dark and intensive ways. So they started making content that they had at home on devices there available to themselves elsewhere. So, and that's why it is a little bit filtered and they will come, because absent the symmetrical high speed connections, they can't come. They just can't do it. You can't sit at home and stand on a sort of 50 megabyte file that you've made that you were able to download from the office in 3 minutes and have to wait 47 minutes to send it back.
Yeah, which is why I was so interested in Lance's answer, because he's going to raise the time.
But the thing is, the constraint here isn't, you know, it's actually the last VA itself, right? It's the asymmetric itself. So once you unleash that, then it's going to unleash all this pent-up demand, which is our business model. Part of our business model is that, wow, you know, this curve is actually really interesting. Well, in spite of it, we need to be ready for that as an industry, otherwise, you know, we're going to have some pretty frustrated businesses.
I think what we need is possibly FTTG, which is sort of pilots in Rani. Rani wants to share photos and stuff with kids, and videos of kids, and all sorts of stuff. Because they can turn on data back on Rani, photos of Rani, or Rani just needs to back it on.
How many people, video Skype people that are overseas?
Right.
How many people's mothers or brothers or whatever video Skype their grandkids who are overseas? Right? Now, this is a weird country that this happens. And so, imagine you're doing that in HD and in 20K and so on and so forth, because that's what you're going to have to do with caregivers. Okay? They're the grandkids and their energy, they're the ones driving the symmetrical demand. And imagine that for business.
Christian, somebody doesn't ask a question.
Yes.
Yes.
What do you think?
This, I just want to back up a little bit to the differentiated pricing thing. I remember back in the days when you say, their argument for getting further was that people don't really know when they're using national bandwidth versus international bandwidth, and sometimes it's hard to know what they're paying and all that stuff going on. But also, if we fast forward to today, we've got arguments in the States about net neutrality and things like that, and that's what we're in ISP, and it's just a lot of different pricing when you visit different websites, that affects the profitability possibly of companies who might be in Australia or New Zealand and places. So it's sort of altering the markets. But yeah, and you know, if you look at Telstra Care these days, they're doing differentiated pricing in terms of trade names, and they're providing for their customers. And that's sort of part of it.
It's pretty diverse business incentives, which is from our hands, and I'd like to thank you. It's also, I think it's probably difficult for the ISPs to know, you know, where they can scale. And, you know, to be fair, it's very hard, right? So, and that's not even good.
It's certainly not even good.
This is inside, and the trade wants to be so fine is that they designed their site for very low speed data. Connections and very low latency for the place here in New Zealand, and versus eBay, you know, much heavier website, Google with HTML and photos and so forth. And so, yeah, there's actually an artificial competitive advantage at the
it's not a patent industry, right? But yeah, to me, it should be just you know, it should be one price for all you think. Aside, I think New Zealand and Australia and five countries are the only ones with an OECD survey last year, so that we had over 99% or 98% of the claims that were on data use. And that's the story.
Yeah, I agree that different ship across the world are challenges. I can't even work out what's a different side of the world. It's not just people here, so then you're relying on this sort of more arcane aspects of what a nice balance needs to be. It's low cost, national rates versus caring rates versus international rates. And they're all different. Because they have different purchasing policies. But I think there's a part to play, here's the third part, providing information in an easy to understand way about what the ISP view of the national versus international is. Totally accept some of these matches of threat.
This phase is local. Why not about the ad service or international stuff?
And we're making our customers think, and that's just fundamentally wrong. You shouldn't have to think when you get online. You shouldn't have to think, gee, if I do this, it's going to cost me more money. Right? Just know it's the internet. It's productive. It's just there.
The answer maybe is to say that actually we need lots of cable to go over James Apple to be awesome.
We're
it's happening. So that it's all about us, we don't need to worry about it happening in
the future. I think there is a reason why we're all there's all these possibilities to impact the internet and the market. The other thing is
So we'll do one more question, and I no longer for the brain, I'm not going to ask this. Gentlemen, right over there.
And then, by the way, just about an hour or so, the panel is here, let's do track them down,
all be down, we'll be on the move, but it's over here to this.
I was an idiot, really, who just cares if they can watch a video on YouTube. Total Eclipse of the Heart is great if you don't have a chance to afford something. How do you communicate to people like me who don't fully grasp all of these issues? And furthermore, does it really matter what the general New Zealand public think about these things? I guess that's good.
I want to get to the stage where no one has to think about it. So, you know, which means that we do others and everyone else up there. So to get to the stage where you put as much work into your internet access and capacity and speed as you do in the office stuff. That's where I'm.
But it does fundamentally matter what you're going to think about it, right? I mean, ultimately, when you're trying to shape market, whether it gets involved or later size, as well as the international business goes on, but on the national side, you already talked about the genesis for some of the things we've seen just now happened because of policy implementation. And finally, it happened because the ministers at the time felt comfortable that was a public desire. Right? To do something different. That's fine, but it was more about the positives, it was more about doing things, not being constrained by actually using this design. And working in businesses, you know, virtually weightlessly, as the minister said. You know, that is a matter of public importance.
Sure, so absolutely fundamental. Right now, you need the public to give the government today and the opposition the support, the continued support, to help drive the system.
So, I'll just like to wrap up some things up here. There's lots of issues. Also, it's half the problem. Certainly not a one size fits all model. We've got the government sometimes pushing all out quite a lot of times. We have some wires for other types of technologies to try and solve the world issue. These have got a life cycle of 5 years. I mean, 5 years is a short time frame. We're building a new bus. We're building a lot of private investment from the companies here to the government funding, to shareholding. We've got individuals and companies doing what they want. We have consumers who are varying, break up watch, varying degrees of knowledge, not knowing what to do, not knowing what to buy, not knowing council only knows where to start. So we've got a lot of issues that ideas from the panel come, some ideas internationally, for example, in America, some of the compounds, some of the ideas in folks. Caps, they started at 100 gig for their cap, and people finish.
Right.
And that's on like 35 to 35 American times. They finish in about an hour or so. So there's lots of issues, we've got experiences we've known from overseas, but we are New Zealand. We're a country with a population in the city of Toronto, the majority is similar to Wales, in the middle of the ocean. So we're unique, we're New Zealanders, we need to solve it in the New Zealand way, because New Zealand know how to push up international experience to help us with the international. So on that note, I'd like to thank Peter, thank you for attending, and say.